نستعرف إن شاء الله. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. To continue إن شاء الله with explanation of الأصول الثلاثة. Last week we talked about the four matters we need to know. The Sheikh says there are four matters. مسائل. What is مسألة? مسألة comes from سؤال. سؤال means question. So here مسائل comes from things which you need to ask about, as if يعني in the meaning is it's something which needs to be known, to be asked about, and it's important to ask about. So مسائل is topics. We can say matters. So there are four مسائل. The first matter, topic, the Sheikh is talking about is العلم, knowledge. And actually, the whole treatise will talk about this matter, this مسألة, العلم. And again, we said when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions العلم in His book, then it is the علم of legislation, علم about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is religion? What is the whole religion about? The whole, what is your whole life is about? We are here, we are created to know Allah and to worship Allah according to this knowledge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He showed us the signs of His attributes by this vast, mighty, great universe. The skies, the moon, the sun, the stars, the oceans, the seas, the deserts, mountains are just a creation. So what about the Creator? So that your whole life, we are here, we are created, we are brought to this life for this, to know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to know how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to know whom did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send to us to show us how to worship Allah. And again, it is a great bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send us a messenger, human from ourselves. He's a human, with our weakness, with our needs, with our human. He is not an angel. So this human, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Prophet Muhammad, showed us the best way ever which pleases Allah. The best way to please Allah. Allah loved His way. Allah loved His way. He loved the way of the companions radiallahu anhu. So the whole treatise is about knowledge. It will explain. So knowledge here, as we said, it comes summed up, summarized. These four masail, it is summed up. And then, because we said we need to organize our thoughts, take it step by step. So now we know what is the idea, then we'll start explaining this topic. So, al-ilm, knowledge about. First thing, the most honorable knowledge, is to know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To know about Him through His names, attributes, acts. Through the verses of Quran. And to know about Allah through His creation. You can see His wisdom, you can see His vastness, His mightiness, His power, His beauty. And everything beautiful, we say it. These animals or fish or birds or sky or moon, or flowers, anything you see. If you say this is beautiful, how beautiful they are. So what about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most beautiful, who created this beauty? So we know about Allah through two sources. His legislative verses, the Quran, and of course the Hadith, and through His creation. So, we say العلم, and we said it is obligatory. What we are going to talk about, what the Shaykh is going to talk about now, it is not from the recommended, مستحب. It is not for the kifaya. It is not if some people know this is sufficient. No, it is obligatory upon each and every one of us to know about what we are going to talk about Allah, this knowledge. So the first knowledge, and the most important knowledge, is to know about Allah. وَمَعْرِفَةَ اللَّهِ, and to know about His Prophet, and to know about His religion. So knowledge, it is knowledge and awareness of Allah. Can anyone understand when I say that when you read Quran, you know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Even from the verses which have rulings, commands and rulings, halal and haram, you will see Allah's justice in His rulings, Allah's mercy in His rulings, Allah's power, mightiness. So this is how we learn about Allah, because Allah told us about Him. And this is also one of the results of His mercy, of His rububiyyah. Allah is our Rabb, who nurtures us, who teaches us, teaches our brains and minds and hearts, that He told us about Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the Qur'an, we know about Allah. We know what Allah commanded, what Allah prohibited, and why He prohibited this. We know what acts Allah loves, and what acts Allah hates. We know whom Allah loved, and why He loved them. See how Allah explained everything to us. And this is because He is the Rabb, the all-loving, the all-merciful, the Wadud. So we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And you know that He is the one, the only one who made subservient whatever is within the heavens and the earth, everything around us. He is the one who gives life. And He is the all-living. And He is the one who gives death. He has full power, and He is the only one where we all stand in front of Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He will either reward or punish. Everything is in His hands. So through Quran, we know why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves to be singled with worship. We know this. And we know this here again, we say out, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. When Allah said that He wrote upon Himself Ar-Rahmah, mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obliged mercy upon Himself. No one can oblige Allah. But Allah obliged Himself. كَتَبَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. He obliged Himself with mercy. His mercy preceded His anger. So we say, Alhamdulillah. We are happy. Everything, subhanAllah, you read about Allah in the Quran, wallahi, it will make you happy. It will make you happy. Happy that Allah, subhanAllah, your Lord, your deity, are this beautiful and powerful, with this justice, with this wisdom, with this mercy, say Alhamdulillah, all praise lovingly to you, Allah. If you look into the creation, you will be aware of your Lord. This perfection. So that's why Allah says, look at the moon, look at the night, look at the day, look at the sun. Because we say that if you put a pen on a table, a pen, just a pen, or a glass of water, whatever, you go and come back, you find it removed. It's no more on the table. So say, where is the pen? If someone told you it has removed itself, it's gone, you will say, I'm not a fool, don't fool me. Every action, every movement, then there is someone who moved it. Someone who made this movement, who made this action. So what about the movement of the sun and the moon and the stars and the the placements from day to night to day to dawn with this extremely perfect, precise manner. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us through His creation, that this universe has a creator. There is a deity, there is a Lord for this universe. We need to know about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no way to reach Allah except the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The only path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the path of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that we need to take him as an example. To take him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as an example. Uswatun hasana, as an excellent example. So how can I take him as my example, as my, say role model, if I don't know him, if I do not know him? How can I follow him in his aqidah, in his way, in his worship, in his treatment to people, treatment to the new Muslims, the old Muslims, the new Sahaba had a treatment, the new Muslims, they have a special treatment. He was very tolerant with them because they are still ignorant. But the Sahaba who has been years in Islam, who spent years in Islam, have another treatment because they have no excuse. What about the enemies? What about the weak? The women, his wives, the children, the boys and the girls? What about the animals? So how can I follow this beautiful example if I did not care to read about him, to know his biography, to know each and every single detail in his life? And again we say, may Allah reward immensely the companions and the tabi'een who preserved the Qur'an and who preserved the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ and who preserved for us the way of the Prophet, the Sunnah, the way. Sunnah means the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It has been preserved. It has been written down. It has been purified from anything which is not correct. And still, we have no time to just read. It's even on your mobile device, any device in front of you. But why don't we read? Why don't we care to read? How can you love him? How can you love Allah if you don't know Allah? How can you love the Prophet more than yourself because we are ordered? Our iman will not be complete until we love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than our own selves. How can you reach this love if you don't know him? And again, when you say that everything, the more you know about Allah, the more you love him more, and the more you know about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will love him more. Because subhanAllah, Allah was the one who chose him and he nurtured him and he showed him the way. So you find the Qur'an has been practiced, by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet was the one who practiced each and every verse. Not each and every, I mean, but each and every verse regarding these, the way and the worship and the obedience and the humbleness, the fear of Allah, the honesty, the justice, and for Allah's sake, not for himself. So the Prophet practiced all what Allah loved and commanded. So if you want again to reach the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, here is the way. Then we need العلم معرفة نبيه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, his prophet. So we need to know about his name, and we need to know about how the revelation came to him when he was in Ghar Hira. We need to know how he started da'wah. We need to know how the Prophet ﷺ tolerated things which no one can tolerate. He was beaten. And by the way, you need to remember that he was very honorable. Before the da'wah, he was very honorable. He was very loved and respected. They respected his opinion. They respected him. They treated him with honor. Because they knew him. They knew his family and they knew his honor and they knew his well manners. So this respectful, and they knew his sincerity and his truthfulness. And this truthful person was called As-Sadiq al-Amin, the old truth, the truthful and the honest. He was then accused that he's a liar, that he is a magician, that he got these, the Quran, from old books and he wrote it down by himself. There's no honesty. So imagine the honest who was named the honest is now accused to be a liar. So yes, he was beaten. Yes, he was injured. He was humiliated. He was accused. Wounded. For the sake of the da'wah. He never gave up. Yeah, and this inshallah you might take in the seerah when you used to go when you find a group of people saying, would you let me tell you about Allah? Can you give me a chance to talk to you about Allah? Say La ilaha illallah and you will succeed. See how he did, yani, lower and humble himself to the da'wah. This was our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what he tolerated for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we love him for the sake of Allah. And we love him because he did everything possible to convey the message at the best way to us. So here's Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, the son of Abdul Muttalib, the son of Hashim, the son of Abd Manaf. And of course, he goes the way back to Ismail and then Ibrahim alayhima as-salam. And we know وَمَعْرِفَةُ دِينِ الْإِسْلَامِ, knowledge of the religion of Islam. Knowledge, so we know about Allah, about his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and about his religion. The religion of Allah, the mighty and majestic. What is the religion? The religion is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded his servants with. Allah religion. This is the way you should worship Allah according to. This is what we need to follow. What is right, what is wrong, what is allowed, who is kafir, who is Muslim. What is the path to Jannah, what is the path to hellfire. All this is his religion. So we are required to follow. How can we follow the religion if we don't know the religion? So we need to know about the religion of Islam. Islam here, the Sheikh says that Islam is the religion of all the messengers. All prophets came with Islam. So Adam alayhi salam, our father Adam, he was a Muslim. Nuh alayhi salam, he was a Muslim. Ibrahim, Isa, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are all Muslims. Why they are Muslims? Because there is only Allah has only one religion, which is Al-Islam. What is Al-Islam? Al-Islam, we say in Arabic, Al-Istislam lillahi bil-Tawheed. To submit to Allah with Tawheed. Istislam, submit, surrender and submit بالتوحيد والانقياد له بالطاعة, and to comply to him with obedience, والخلوص من الشرك وأهله, and to remain free from the shirk and the people of shirk. To negate or البراءة, say البراءة من الشرك وأهله. Another statement, al-bara'a, is to free yourself, to negate them. Min al-shirk and the people of shirk. This is Islam. This is the meaning of Islam. So the people asked, for example, the time of نبي الله لوط or نبي الله عيسى موسى. يعني for example بني إسرائيل at the time of موسى عليه السلام they believed in Allah and they submitted themselves to Allah and they complied to Allah with obedience and they freed themselves from the shirk and people of shirk. They believed in موسى عليه السلام and they believed in all the prophets and messengers before Musa. So they believed in Nuh, in Ibrahim, in Idris, they believed in all these prophets. So by doing this, at this time, they are Muslims. This is general Islam. So at each time of a prophet, if you believe in this prophet, at your time, you believe in this prophet and all the prophets who came before him. And you did this believing in Allah, then you are a Muslim. طب من عيسى عليه السلام came. عيسى عليه السلام. If someone say, I follow عيسى, but I don't follow موسى. Not follow, I don't believe in موسى. I only believe in عيسى عليه السلام. Or I don't believe in نوح. He's not a Muslim. So to be a Muslim, he has to believe in this prophet at his time and to believe in all the prophets before him. When you talk about Islam now, the word Islam, it means the special Islam. It is the Islam which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we need to believe in the Prophet because if you don't believe in Quran, then halas, kufr. So believe in the Quran which Allah sent to us through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We believe in Muhammad and we believe in all prophets before our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we don't differentiate in believing in them. We believe in all of them. So Islam with a specific meaning is what Allah sent his Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with. Because after the Quran, after the message of yeah, the Quran now surpass all the books. Naskh is to surpass them or to yani halas, all books now are deviated yani. We don't work with any book except we don't follow any book except Quran. So when we say Islam, we don't say that he follows Isa so he's a Muslim. No. To be a Muslim, we need to believe in Quran and believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the shahada. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. So a Christian cannot say, I'm a Muslim. I surrender to Allah. Even if he does not associate anything with Allah. Even if he say, okay, I only will worship Allah only. I will not worship Jesus. I worship only Allah. Do you believe in Muhammad? You say no. Then you are a kafir. You believe in the Quran, if you say no, then he is a kafir. So the general meaning is the Islam, which was the religion of all the prophets. The specific meaning is Islam al-Khas, is what the Islam, what the religion which Allah sent for the Quran, which Allah sent to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, we say that knowledge is to know. Knowledge, i'lam, know. Know about Allah. Know about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your prophet. Know about Islam. But here is a very important issue. The Sheikh Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab mentioned. He said, bil adillah, to know, but according to proofs. With proofs. Again, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen said, استدل ثم اعتقد ولا تعتقد ثم تستدل فتضل. Beautiful statement. He said first, you need to follow the proof or seek the proof. استدل, seek the proof. After you seek the proof, and again proof is Quran verse or authentic hadith. Seek the proof, then believe. اعتقد. Believe. And don't believe. Don't have a creed or don't believe in something. Then after you believe in it, you start finding a proof for it. Because if you first believe in something, you start finding a proof for this, what you believe in, this is dalal, will be astray. So we never believe in anything and we never believe in any attribute about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless we have a proof. We don't believe this is haram unless we have a proof. We don't believe any attribute of, for example, as-sirat, or any pleasure in Jannah, or any torture in hellfire, or any attribute of an angel, except if you have a proof. So I have a proof that angels are created from light. Okay, halas, now I believe that I'm created from light. You have a proof? Believe in it. An aqidah is when you knot something, it comes from a knot. You make a knot. So you believe and you tie a knot on this belief, so it will never be untied. Talas, it's done, something tight. So he said, we know about Allah, His Prophet, and His religion with these proofs. Not due to taqlid. A taqlid is blind following. Sometimes we can have taqlid, yani ignorant people, they have no choice but to be muqallideen. They need ignorant person who cannot understand a dalil. He is excused. For example, someone who lives in in a farm, very very simple farmer, he is very limited in his intelligence. This person cannot understand what is a proof. This he can follow. But we do not have any excuse to follow blindly. Rather, it has to be with proofs from Quran and from the Sunnah. So knowledge is Quran and Sunnah. Ibn al-Qayyim said in Al-Kafiyah Al-Shafiyah, knowledge is Allah said, His Prophet said, the companions said, they are the possessors of knowledge and awareness. The companions are the possessors of knowledge because they lived with the Prophet ﷺ and they heard from him. Knowledge is not that you foolishly raise up a disagreement between the messenger and the opinion of so and so. So knowledge is قال الله قال رسول الله قال الصحابة. But if a companion said a statement which contradict with an authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what shall we do? If we have a hadith, authentic hadith, and we find a companion saying something differently, then what shall we do? Nothing to weigh against hadith of the Prophet. The only one we are allowed to follow without any restrictions is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if the companion said something and I find a hadith which is not, which contradicts with this hadith, we follow the Prophet, we don't follow the companions. So the knowledge is contained, in the book and the sunnah. But about the scholars, this is very important now. If you say Ibn Taymiyyah, Imam Malik said, الشافعي أحمد بن حنبل ابن القيم ابن عثيمين ابن باز الشيخ الفوزان any one of these you say said is this knowledge is this a proof no this is not a proof I don't say you are not allowed to travel without a mahram a woman is not allowed to travel without a mahram because Sheikh ibn Baz said or Imam Ahmed said, no, this is not allowed. So what is the role of the scholars here? The only role of scholars is to explain to us the meaning of hadith. the meaning of the verse only, explanation, verification. Or scholars sometimes need to have this qiyas to, what you say, to qiyas is to, yeah, for example, we say al-khamr, alcohol is prohibited. Then marijuana, it is the smoke, the cigarettes, which makes you dizzy or khalas, you lose your mind. It's the same like khamr. This is qiyas. So you weigh this against this. Yani measurement. It's measurement. You measure this with this to say, since everything which makes you out of the mind is haram, then marijuana is haram. Al-qiyas. They make qiyas when a man is, yani some scholars say, if a man can wipe over his what is al-amama, over his, the thing put on the head is al-amama. I hope you understand. If a man can, the Prophet ﷺ, he wiped wudu, he wiped upon over his amama, then a woman can wipe over her khimar. Qiyas, measurement. But they do not legislate. So knowledge is not the knowledge is not Sheikh Ibn Baz said. No. Knowledge is. Allah said, the Prophet ﷺ said, the companion said, because the Prophet ﷺ ordered us to follow them. And the scholars, they come again to explain their words. That's it. Only. We don't follow scholars. We follow only Quran and Sunnah. So proofs are not the speech of the ulama, rather the proofs are the ayah of the Quran and the prophetic ahadith. As for the speech of scholars, then it explains and clarifies that. Except it is not a proof in itself. This is the first matter. Knowledge. This is the foundation. The Shaykh Rahimahullah began with it because it is the foundation. One should begin with aqeedah, creed and belief. The foundation in learning. Never build your iman without foundation. Like never build a building. Without this, it's foundations. You need to make a foundation this for a building and then you go up 10 stores, 20 stores. But without this, without a strong foundation, it will be destroyed, it will break up. So we build our foundation step by step. So we always need to begin with aqidah because it is the fundamental basis and it is the foundation. Because you say foundation, how can I fear Allah? Can you fear is an obligated act of worship. How can I fear Allah? I just want to explain this foundation. How can I practice the worship of fearing Allah and watching Allah? How can my heart watch Allah if I don't have in my heart a foundation knowing that Allah is all-knowing, all-hearing, Allah can, yes, Allah is capable of punishing me. Allah is the only one who can make me happy or unhappy. So this foundation results into acts of worship. How can I love Allah? How can I leave anything which I love for the sake of Allah if I don't have this foundation of loving Allah and believing that Allah will compensate me better than what I left for His sake? How can I give away my money, my health, my time, my effort? How can I say Alhamdulillah in a calamity if I don't have this foundation? How can I be truthful in my saying, in everything I say, if I don't have this foundation? So we don't begin with acts of worship. And again, I say this: don't ever start with a new Muslim saying, "Be rightful, don't lie, wear hijab." Start by aqidah. And this is what I noticed at the people, Alhamdulillah, Rabb, whom they come to us. They come wearing trousers, they come putting makeup, they come wearing, subhanAllah, They treat their husband badly, they treat their children badly. We don't talk to them. We never told them where the niqab or where the hijab. They just hear about Allah. And they start understanding Quran. And start getting the dunya, the world out of their heart. And start believing that there is a real life waiting for us, a Jannah waiting for us. They start loving Allah and fearing Allah and hoping in Allah. Then, when this foundation happens, acts of worship comes automatically. It comes خلاص, without effort. Wallahi, it happens. They start asking, what should I wear? Is it haram to say no to my husband in this and this? Is it allowed to travel like this? Is it allowed to do so? Is it haram to do so? So without foundation, there's nothing. There is no building. There is nothing. Start by the creed. Start by this foundation. Know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you know Him, you will love Him. And you will fear Him. And you will hope in Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the first, which we're going to explain, and the rest of the treatise will be explaining knowledge about Allah and His religion and the some biography of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second mas'ala, the second matter, topic is al-amal bihi, action upon it. But you knew. How did you act? Yeah, for example, you knew how to pray in the correct way. You know now that you need to make wudu this way. You need to pray in a way without hastiness. You should not be hasty in praying. You need to give a time for your limbs to come back to its place. At-tuma'nina, for example. We need to know that you make prostration like this, ruku'ah like this. Did you make sure to pray according to what you learned? But we knew this is haram. It is haram, for example, to treat your mother badly or talk to her in to hide your voice on her or with her. Did you make sure to lower your voice in front of your mother? So act upon the knowledge. But we know that Allah is the all-hearing. Allah hears each and every word. Did you try to watch your tongue? Did you act upon what you learned? So action upon it, upon the knowledge. It is not sufficient that a person teaches and learns. He must act upon knowledge. Because if you don't act, this knowledge, it will be a proof against you. Again, if you don't act upon the knowledge, at least I must not be able to act upon each and every knowledge I learned. But at least I am trying. I am on the way. I started watching my tongue. I did not fix my tongue 100%. But I started watching my tongue. Backbiting. I knew now that backbiting is one of the greater sins. So I started trying to watch myself from backbiting. I'm trying to minimize it. It might take 1 year, it might take 5 years, but I'm on my way. If I fall in it, I make it too far. So I'm aware. I don't just leave myself as before backbiting without any watching for myself. I'm now watching and guarding myself. No backbiting. So here now you are acting upon the knowledge you learned. But what about an act, for example, regarding something you need to believe in? Because some knowledge, just believe in it. The knowledge about Allah's attributes. Some attributes I need to act upon, like the all-knowing, the all-hearing. And some attributes or some knowledge, I just need to believe. I believe Allah has hands. So my act here is to believe. I believe Allah loves. I believe. So knowledge without action, just a proof against the person. It will not be beneficial except with action. العلم النافع. What is it? العلم either علم نافع beneficial or it is it will not be beneficial. If you don't act upon knowledge, there is a hadith that from the first of those for whom the fire will be made to blaze on the day of resurrection will be a scholar who does not act upon his knowledge. A scholar does not act upon his knowledge. One of the first people to enter hellfire. This hadith is, we should fear from this, and the Sahaba used to cry from this hadith. Maybe someone who almost fainted from this hadith. And I want to say something, if you have a correct creed, aqidah sahiha, correct creed, correct belief, this has to have an effect on you. If you don't change, if aqidah does not change you, then know that your knowledge is not beneficial. You need to change in every aspect of your life. Aqidah has to have an impact on us. I don't walk the same way. I don't dress the same way. I don't talk to my husband the same way. I don't treat my children the same way. I change. My manners, it changes. My tongue. My priorities. If you don't feel more humble, and you feel that sometimes you hate yourself for the sake of Allah, you feel that I'm not able to worship Allah according to what Allah deserves, I'm always seeing myself as someone who is, I accuse myself, I need to accuse myself, I'm not doing the thing as expected or as it has to be done. So the more you are knowledgeable, the more you need to change. You should not be happy with yourself. You should find the defects on you, in you. You start searching the defects and try to fix these defects. Humble yourself more. Watch your walk, watch your talking, watch your treating with people. Watch your tongue. Watch to be truthful, to be sincere. Beware of showing off. So if you want to know that you acted upon knowledge or not, look at yourself. Let a friend tell you, and you will hear this comment: you changed, you changed. If you hear that you did change a lot, then alhamdulillah, thank Allah, you are on the way. If you are the same person, same priorities, same backbiting, same twisting the conversation, the world, same, happy with yourself, feeling very pleasant and very satisfied with yourself, then ask Allah to give you an alive heart, and ask Allah to grant you to act upon knowledge, because it's not act upon knowledge yet. So knowledge, it has an effect. It has a beautiful effect. So knowledge is joined to action. Action is the fruit of knowledge. So what about actions without knowledge? Actions without knowledge. This you will find a lot upon Muslims everywhere. For example, when a Muslim, she is born a Muslim. When she wants to pray or to make Qiyam Layl, she not prays and make Qiyam Layl without trying to know how to make Qiyam Layl. She can fast without knowing how to make an intention or whatever, or how to fast or what, or when she's not allowed to fast. She not fast. When she wants to put on hijab, she does not care to see the conditions of hijab. When she makes applications, she might make shirk supplications, wrong supplications. Supplications there is no adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So acts without knowledge also are nullified or something which is astray, something which has no meaning, no benefit. Act without knowledge is not accepted. Knowledge without act is not accepted. Both are not accepted. So act comes after knowledge. You know, then you act accordingly. The Christians, al-Dhalin, they acted without knowledge until now. Did Allah say that you have to fast just eating this and don't eat this and you fast 60 days? Where is this? Did Allah tell them not to marry? Why do you refuse to marry? Where is the knowledge, on which knowledge did you base that you don't marry? What is the ruling of this? Allah did not command you to do this. So it is not accepted. It would be nothing. It would be nothing. So again, knowledge first, then act. The Prophet said, مَنْ عَمِلَ عَمَلًا لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ أَمْرُنَا فَهُوَ رَدٌّ. Whoever does an action which our affairs is not in accordance with, it will be rejected. فَهُوَ رَدٌّ تُرَدٌّ. Rejected. And of course, when Allah said, when Allah described people that they acted without knowledge, which, يعني المغضوب عليهم, are the people مغضوب عليهم in Fatiha, they knew, but they acted, they did not act upon the knowledge. الضالين, they acted without knowledge, just following their own desires and their own minds. So first, again, knowledge. Second, matter, act upon the knowledge. Third, الدَّعْوَةُ إِلَيْهِ. الدَّعْوَةُ إِلَيْهِ, calling to this knowledge. You call to Allah. You call to Allah by knowledge. الدَّعْوَةُ إِلَيْهِ. Calling to Allah, you can call to Allah by several means. You can call to Allah via lecture, by words. You're saying, you can call to Allah by writing an article, writing a letter to someone. Call to Allah in this. And one of the scholars, I think, Sheikh Saleh al-Sheikh, he said, one of the best ways to call to Allah is by your acts. By your act. To set an example. So you call to Allah by teaching people how to be truthful. How to be humble, how to have mercy, how to be honest, how to be clean, how to treat a husband, how to treat a father, how to treat a needy person, how to treat your children, what to do when you are angry, how to control your anger. Wallahi, this is the best way to call to Allah. And this way is very beneficial within your family. يعني you can call your husband to Allah, you can make da'wah to your husband by the way you start treating your husband. He will watch how you treat him now. He will watch how you are going to control your anger with your children now. He will watch how you are going to treat your mother-in-law. How you are going to encourage him to be a good son. He's watching. What about if you have children? The best way to teach them Tawheed through your own acts. They will see that you only fear Allah. They will see that you only hope for the provision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will see it in you. That for example, you need money, you start supplicating Allah and tell them Allah will suffice us. They will see that you are honest in conveying any incident. They will see that you have modesty. They will see that you respect your husband even if he's not present. The best da'wah ever is da'wah by action. And we need this. We need this. Each and every Muslim, male or female, we need to change the impression they have about Islam. A woman wearing hijab or niqab is not a terrorist. On the contrary, they need to know that the best person ever dealt with is a Muslim. The most honest person is a Muslim. The best manners, generosity, patience, bearing, spending. The companions did this. A lot of people, because the companions, they worked in trading and they used to travel in many countries, east and west. And people, they accepted Islam by just dealing with the companions, with Muslims. Like the Sahabi, when the Prophet ﷺ, Thumama ibn Athal, I think, he was something very important. He was like a leader in his people. And he was captive. What did the Prophet ﷺ do? He tied him up to a sariya, like what you say, al-amud is... يعني سريع عمود like a pillar in the masjid. He tied him up and left them for 3 days watching the Muslims, just watching them. After 3 days, he said the shahada. He became a Muslim. The way the Muslims treated him, the way they treated each other, the Quran, the khushu'ah. So in the past, when they saw Muslims, they loved Islam through Muslims. And now, they think badly about Islam because of Muslims. And this is, wallahi, something which is very saddening. I'm really sad about this. Sometimes I'm ashamed if someone comes to Egypt and see Muslims. I see, this is not Islam. What you are seeing now is not Islam. So maybe we can have a very small role in this. Take this intention. Very small role. That show the beauty of Islam to people. People, they should, يعني, love Islam through you. They say if the Muslims ruled us, this would be the best life ever. So it's not sufficient that a person learns knowledge and acts himself and does not call to Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Again, it is not sufficient. The best thing is not only to benefit yourself. Try to benefit others. This is more beloved to Allah. The more beloved acts to Allah is to benefit others. So if this knowledge is something entrusted, you are entrusted with, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses you, Allah chose you. Not anyone understands, for example, what is aqidah. Not anyone understands that we should follow the five salaf, the companions. Not anyone understands about tawheed, about Allah's names and attributes. So Allah chose you to understand this. Allah chose you. And He gave you this, what you say, He entrusted you with this, then you need to convey this. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took like a convent from us, like we took in Ali Imran, and when Allah took the solemn agreement from those who were given the scripture, you must make it clear to the people and not conceal it. With أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِثَاقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ لَتُبَيِّنُنَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَكْتُمُونَهُ. Don't conceal it. And when someone asks you about something, you need to give him the time and the effort to answer him. Clear the doubt. Explain to him. And again, when you explain knowledge and you give knowledge, Allah is the all thankful. It will be, Allah will appreciate you by giving more and more understanding and more knowledge. هَلْ جَزَاءَ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. Allah will reward you ihsan with ihsan. So we need to make da'wah to this knowledge. Allah said in Surah Yusuf, قُلْ Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to say, هَذِي سَبِيلِي, this is my way. Say, this is my way. أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ, I call to Allah, عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ, عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ أَنَا وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي, I call to Allah upon clear knowledge, بَصِيرَة, clear knowledge, أَنَا, I, وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي, so himself and those who follow me. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those who follow him. وَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. So this is the way of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the way of his followers. Knowledge, action, calling to Allah the Mighty and Majestic. So see here, the first three here. Knowledge, basiratin, is knowledge. Adu'a Allah is da'wah. So whoever does not call and he has the ability to call, please concentrate here. If you have the ability to make da'wah, even within neighbors, within friends. So anyone who does not call to Allah and he has the ability to call and he has knowledge and he conceals it, then he will be given a bridle of fire of the day of resurrection. But of course, this is if you are needed to say, يعني, not voluntary. The hadith is that when you, someone is asked about knowledge, if someone asks you, for example, how can I pray? If someone asks you about what is tawheed, what's the meaning of la ilaha illallah, is this haram or halal? You know it. You know the answer. But you refuse to say it because you want to be the only one who knows, you don't care enough to respond and to answer this questioner, then you are, there is wa'id. There is a punishment. I hope you understood this. If you are asked about knowledge, you know it, and you concede it, you refuse to explain it, this is major sin. The fourth matter, I hope if you have time you can finish the fourth matter today inshallah, الصبر على الأذى فيه. So know, act, call, and if you call to Allah, you will be harmed. You will be opposed. You will be accused. You will be fought against. This is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is His way, sunnatullah, the way of Allah. This is the way which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for His prophets. No prophet came with la ilaha illallah and people accepted this from him. No prophet came with la ilaha illallah and he found acceptance. Each and every messenger, he was fought, resisted, opposed, accused, killed, fought against. And this is the way of everyone who is going to follow the way of the prophets. If you come with la ilaha illallah, obey only Allah and fear only Allah, then people, hear what are going to do now. You are going to oppose and contradict with the desire of people. For example, this sister, she desires to uncover her body and look beautiful. She desires to put perfume. She desires to mix with men. She desires this. You come and tell her haram. Be pious to Allah, this is haram. Then she will show enmity to you. She will not find this. Not anyone will accept this from you. If someone, Christian, who worship Jesus or worship whatever, and tell him, no, do not worship Jesus. Only Allah deserves to be worshipped. Then you are coming against his belief, against something he likes. And he finds it very easy to do. I believe in Jesus and I go to paradise. Alhamdulillah. No more. The promise and these things. And now you are telling him that there is punishment and they have to halal and there is haram and there is ruling you have to abide with. So he said, no, I'm not ready to abide with any ruling. I'm a free person. I choose what I like. So be aware of this. Be aware of this. Because Allah is wise. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made calling to Him something, which when I call to Allah, I find people accepting this, and I have high rank, and people start respecting me and loving me because I call to Allah, then where is the ittila, where is the fitna, where is the ikhtibar, testing, examination? Where is it? We have to be tested. Am I sincere in my calling to Allah? I will be resisted. Will I continue? Will I bear this? Am I going to be patient in this because I know what I am doing? I'm waiting for Allah's pleasure only. I don't want anything from anyone. I'm doing what pleases Allah. So we are tested. The Prophet ﷺ, they were tested and they succeeded. And now we need to succeed in this. And that's why you say whenever you are harmed in your da'wah, people start accusing you or fighting you back or whatever. No, inshallah, have a glad tidings that we expect, alhamdulillah, we are on the right track. You are on the right track. Look at the deviated people. Who is the only one fighting deviated people? Who is the only one accusing and fighting the deviated people? Deviated people. Ahl bid'ah. The Salafis. But look at Sufiyya with Tabliyyah, with Ikhwan, with Takfir, with whatever, Ahmadiyya, whatever, all this Baha'iyya, all these deviations. They don't fight each other. They don't even fight Christianity. No one fights anyone. But who is the only da'wah which is fighted everywhere? Fighted, this da'wah Salafi, it is fighted in all Islamic countries from the government. We are fighted from, or fought against from the government. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is ibtila' from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, examination for us. The government are against us. Ikhwan against us. Sufiyya against us. SubhanAllah, even the, what you say, these people, even the Mulhideen is the atheists, they are against us. They don't hate except Salafis. They don't hate except Salafis. SubhanAllah. So the only da'wah, which is haqq, is the most fought against da'wah. And still it prevails, and still it is clear, and still it is strong. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting this da'wah. And this little da'wah, although Salafis are not that much, but there is a great blessing in it. Great khayr in it. And it will prevail. It will rule. It will spread. Definitely will spread. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who spread it. Because we are calling to Allah according to Quran and Sunnah. So to be fought, we need to be patient. We need to be patient. And we need to know that it is great honor, great bounty, that we are harmed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this world, there is no peace. I mean, no, something bad will happen in this world. There's fear, there is sickness, illness, to lose someone you love, poverty. So we'll be examined by this. So imagine if you are examined in any cases, you are being examined, and you're going to experience some pain. So why don't we make this pain for the sake of Allah and take this enormous reward? And we go back to Allah and I tell Him, for your sake, Allah. For your sake, Allah. Like the companions used to do. They wanted to meet Allah saying, I lost my own life for your sake, Allah. I spent my own blood cheaply for your sake, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to have this intention. We are honored to be harmed and fought against for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the reward will be big. And there is no, you will not have power, تمكين, to have the power or to have the sulta, is to have the control, except if you are first examined. No power, no تمكين. You will not reach your goal for the, even for the da'wah of Salafiyya, except you are examined, and then you pass this exam by patience, and by acceptance, and by persistence. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant this da'wah at-tamkeen, to prevail and to conquer. So we should be patient and bear it, because it is in Allah's cause. Whatever harm befalls upon any one of us, it will be rewarded from Allah. Again, Allah will reward you. Allah will appreciate this. And Allah knows your sincerity and knows your acceptance of this harm because it is for His cause. So Allah will reward you, the perfect and most high, upon the scale of His good deeds. Okay, next time, inshallah, these are the four medals. And here the Sheikh says, okay, the Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahab promised us that the knowledge we need, that everything is going to teach us, to tell us about, it has to have a proof. So what is the proof of these four matters? So these four matters, knowledge, act, da'wah, patience, has to have a proof. So next time, inshallah, we'll take the proof of these four matters from Quran, which is Surah Al-Asr. We'll explain this, inshallah, next Monday. We'll stop here. Subhanaka wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.